بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome on this beautiful Wednesday to all of you listening here on Markaz Sahaba Online. And we welcome you to the fiqh segment of the program, our weekly fiqh segment. And as was mentioned last week, we are continuing with the Masail on Sawm, fasting, as we are in the month of Ramadan. We thought it most appropriate to begin with this particular topic. And inshallah, after the month of Ramadan, we will definitely then start with the other basic Masail with regard to Taharat, cleanliness, wudu and ghusl, salah, etc., etc. But for now, inshallah, whilst we are in the month of Ramadan, we will try and just focus on some of the important Masail relating to fasting itself. So the niyat or intention of fasting is necessary. If a person stays away from all those things that break one's fast without niyat, the fast will not be valid. Now, it is not necessary to express the niyat or the intention verbally, as niyat basically means to intend something. And thus the intention at heart will suffice. Say if a person is now, obviously we all have that intention in Ramadan, but it is necessary to have an intention every morning. And that is why we read the dua, bi sawmi ghadin nawait, that I intend fasting tomorrow for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This dua is read after sari, bi sawmi ghadin nawait, o Allahumma asumu ghadan laka, faghfir li ma qaddamtu wa ma akhartu. But all a person has to say is that, O Allah, I intend fasting tomorrow for you. It does not need to be verbal, as I mentioned. If a person just has this niyat in his heart, this will also suffice. If a person has intention to wake up for sari, this also will count as having the intention to fast, because a person will only wake up for sari if he really wants to fast. So that also will be counted as a niyat. The dua, like I said, bisawmi ghadin nawait, I intend fasting for tomorrow for Allah Ta'ala. The time for niyat lasts up to midday for Fardh-e Mu'ayyan. That means that for the fast in the month of Ramadan, for a person makes a nazar fast, basically that a nazar, we said, is a wajib Mu'ayyan fast, as we explained last week, that if a person takes a vow and says that I'm going to fast on a certain day, all right? So the time for niyat lasts up to midday. That means the latest a person can make a niyat for that roza is up until midday. Right, the hours of a day are from Subah Sadiq to sunset. That we know that the time, the day is basically from Subah Sadiq, from the time of Fajr right up until Maghrib time. So a person has up to midday for Fard Mu'ayyan, for Wajib Mu'ayyan. So Fard Mu'ayyan is basically your Ramadan fast. Wajib Mu'ayyan is your Nazar, your vow fasts that have been set for specific days. A Sunnat or a Mustahab fast. For any one of these fasts, the niyat can be made right up until midday. That means you don't need to have the niyat the night before. You don't need to have the niyat at the time of Fajr time. But even at least by 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock before midday, if a person makes a niyat, that also will be okay, inshallah. The niyat for fard ghair mu'ayyan, on the other hand, and wajib ghair mu'ayyan, should be made before Subah Sadiq. So fard ghair mu'ayyan is basically your qaza rozas for Ramadan. So if a person, for some reason, maybe he was sick, he missed out a roza or two during the month of Ramadan, now after the month of Ramadan, he wishes to keep the qaza of this fast, now he needs to make the niyat that I am fasting tomorrow, my missed roza from Ramadan, for example. He needs to make this before the time of Fajr Salah. At night finish, he must make this niyat. And the same goes for a wajib ghair mu'ayyan. Wajib ghair mu'ayyan is basically a fast, a vow fast also, but that was not specific to any particular day. That means if a person made a fast that, oh Allah, if I go for Umrah, if you take me for Umrah this year, I'm going to keep 10 rozas. This is a vow. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken him for Umrah, alhamdulillah. Now he needs to keep the 10 rozas, but he didn't say that I'm going to keep the 10 rozas immediately when I come back. The first day I come back, inshallah, I'm going to start. Or I'm going to keep it in the first 10 days of Rabiul Awal, for example. This is specifying the fast beforehand. So if you specify it beforehand, then you have up to midday to make the niyat. But if it's not specified, if you just said that I will keep 10 rozas If, for example, this particular work of mine gets done, and he doesn't specify which date or day, then, like this year, he needs to make the niyat beforehand, at least the night before. The dua to make at the time of breaking fast, we spoke about the dua before fasting, that, oh Allah, I'm fasting tomorrow. Bisawmi ghadin nawait. Now the dua at the time of breaking fast, Allahumma laka sumtu, wa bika amantu, wa ala rizqika aftartu. That, oh Allah, for you I have kept roza, and in you I believe, and with your given sustenance do I break my fast. Oh Allah, for you I have fasted, and in you I believe, and with your given sustenance, with your rizq, I will break my fast. Allahumma laka sumtu, wa bika amantu, wa ala rizqika aftartu. Now we will move on to the mustahabs in fasting. That what should a person do? What is mustahab for a person to do when he is fasting? Number one, to partake of sehri. So we know the suhoor or the sehri, we wake up all of us before fajr, before the time expires, to make our suhoor or sehri. This is a mustahab in fasting. To delay the sehri up to a little before subh sadiq. If a person is making sehri, he should not make his sehri the night before, for example, and say that, okay, now I'm not going to wake up for sehri. But to delay the sehri up to a little before subh sadiq, as we do it generally, where we wake up maybe half an hour or 45 minutes before sehri ends, and that is the time we make our suhoor, our sehri, this is the mustahab way of doing it. And to partake of the sehri itself is very, very important. Sunnah of Rasulullah. And also, there's a lot of barakat in sehri. It means even if a person has to just have a few dates and water, some of us, we can't have the kari kichris and we can't have the tarkaris that early in the morning, because it sort of like sits on your chest and what have you. So then we say, okay, you know what, let's have something light, maybe a fruit. Bananas are very good because they have potassium in them. And then dates as well, they are quite nice because they release energy during the course of the day, same as bananas. So we say, okay, we're going to have a banana and maybe a few dates and some water. That also, even though a person just has that little bit, but he is now making amal on the sunnah and is partaking of sehri. Number three, to break the fast immediately after sunset. That means that after, when a person now reaches the time of Maghrib Salah, a person shouldn't act now like a big buzrug and say, I'm going to fast till Isha time. I feel, you know what, I can pull it till Isha, so I'm going to fast. No, this is against the Sunnah. This is against what is prescribed by Rasulullah. And when the time for iftar comes, one should not delay in breaking the fast. To break one's fast with dry or fresh dates if available. If dates are not available, then with water. And alhamdulillah, most of us make amal on this as well, where we break our roza with dates. And to make the niyat at night, this is also mustahab. So if a person, although we said that a person can make niyat for Ramadan rozas right up until midday, but if the niyat is made already at night, that, oh Allah, I'm going to be fasting tomorrow, this is better because it is mustahab. Those were the mustahabbat of fasting. Now, when it comes to the makruhat of fasting, mustahab is those things which are recommended, those things which should be carried out. As for the makruhat of fasting, those are things which are disliked and should be left out when it comes to fasting. A person shouldn't engage in these things. To chew gum, rubber, plastic, or other such items. These are makruh al fast. Now, while they won't break the roza itself to chew rubber and plastic, then, but it makes it terribly makruh. To taste any article of food or drink and spit it out. If a woman has a very ill-tempered husband, it is permissible for her to taste the food, provided it does not go down her throat. If a person, now just to get the taste of something, he takes a bite, but without swallowing it, he spits it out. This is makruh. This is against the adab of fasting, against the etiquette, and it is makruh. It is disliked to do this while a person is in a halat and person is in a state of roza. But if a woman's husband is very, very particular about his food, it happens sometimes that we men folk shouldn't actually be like that, because it makes it very, very difficult for our wives if the salt is a little more, the salt is a little less. But in any case, some men are very particular with regard to their meals, and you know the spicing must be right, etc. So for this reason, the ulama have given permissibility for a woman to taste but not swallow the food, and just to see if the salt and all of that is good, and then she should spit it out. She should not swallow it, the food. Number three, to collect one's saliva in the mouth and then to swallow it, trying to quench thirst. So a person now makes an effort to collect his saliva in his mouth and then swallow it so that his thirst can be quenched. So that his, because maybe his throat is very dry, and as a result of this would like to quench the thirst and give some soothing effect to the throat. So for this now we collect the saliva and we swallow it. This also is makruh. To delay a bath that has become fard knowingly until after Subh Sadiq. To delay a bath that has become fard. That means if a person now has, for example, if a person who's not married has to have a wet dream and there is an emission now at that particular stage, and a person knowingly knows that now I need to make ghusl, and he can make sehri and start his roza. His roza will still be accept. Doesn't mean that he's in a state of janabat, in a state of impurity like this, that he cannot fast. He will be able, his fast will be counted and will be valid. But it is makruh for him to knowingly be in a state like that of janabat without making a ghusl or bath until after Subh Sadiq. So if it happens during the course of the night, at least try and wake up a little bit earlier before this fast actually starts and try and make your ghusl. If it is done later, the fast will still be valid, but it will be makruh. To use toothpaste or tooth powder to cleanse one's teeth, it is permissible to use a miswak or any permissible fresh branch. So a person may use a miswak, but not wet it with water too much, because at the end of the day, the water also can seep down his throat, which will break his roza. But it is makruh for a person to use toothpaste or tooth powder or anything of that sort with regard to his brushing of the teeth. The next one is to complain of hunger and thirst. If a person now is hungry or thirsty, then you should not complain that, oh, I'm feeling the roza too much, it's too hectic for me, I can't manage it, I don't know how I'm going to pull so many days. A person should bear this with sabr, because the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving for fasting is very, very great. And therefore, a little bit of patience should be exercised, and a person should bear this difficulty with the notion that I will be receiving great rewards in compensation for this particular roza. To take the water too much up the nostrils when cleaning the nose, this is also makruh, because it can flow down the throat again. To gargle more than is actually absolutely necessary. And these two, that is the putting of water into the nostrils and gargling, is obviously done at the time of making wudu or ghusl. But we should make sure that now it's not done unnecessarily. First of all, when it comes to the gargling, and in nostrils, we should be very careful that it does not go right up the nose. To quarrel, argue, use filthy or indecent words, we know Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, فَلَا يَرْفُثُ وَلَا يَسْخَبْ, that a person in a state of roza should not quarrel, he should not fight, he should not use any filthy or indecent words. And that goes out of the month of Ramadan, but particularly so when a person is in a halat of roza, simply because there's nothing that takes away from a person's fast more than him abusing his tongue. So when it comes to backbiting, when it comes to quarreling, when it comes to lying, when it comes to swearing, all these things are sinful acts, even when a person is not fasting. But they are even worse when fasting, because a person is in a continuous state of ibadat like this. The body is in a state of ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yet a person is misusing or abusing their tongue. And like I mentioned, this takes away a lot of the reward of a person's fast. And as Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that certain people will fast, but they will get nothing from their fast except hunger. Referring to people who will now abuse their tongue and still continue in vile and sin, despite being in the halat of fasting. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amal, and inshallah we will join you next week, same time, same place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our Ramadan a very, very special one. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.